It's supposed to be funny, but I thought as I put that up there, I'm like, man, I might be stressing some people out because that might hit really close to reality. And right, there we go. And you know what? And there's that component that we watch it, like I said. I mean, dealing with stress and the just living this life, and we all have our coping mechanisms, right? One of them, I read this online, I thought it was great. It's called the stress diet. Maybe you've tried it. For breakfast, half a grapefruit, 1 piece of whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. Lunch, 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, cup of steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie, and herb tea. Mid-afternoon snack, the rest of the Oreo cookies, a quart of Rocky Road ice cream, and a jar of hot fudge. Dinner, 2 loaves of garlic bread, a large pizza, a pitcher of root beer, 3 Milky Ways, and an entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly out of the freezer. As long as you're stressed, feel free to repeat that. And again, that's one of those, it would be more funny if it wasn't so true, right? I mean, we've all had those times where we've hit the fridge and the freezer where we shouldn't. I don't have to sell you on this point. This life is crazy, and it just doesn't seem to slow down. And on top of it, you had a pastor last week that challenged you to check yourself for spiritual laziness that might be creeping into your life. And so this is what I want you to consider this morning. Just take that quick, brief look of where your life is at, and I ask you this question. Do you think it is what Jesus intended for you? Right now, what your life looks like, is this what Christ was talking about when he promised you the abundant life? That's a hard question, isn't it? But here's the good news. As hard as it may be to believe, if you're in a point going, Todd, I wouldn't even want you to look at my life right now, that abundant life that Jesus Christ promised is available to you, and it's actually something he is inviting you to do. I mean, doesn't rest sound fantastic right now? Just to think about that, rest. And here's the irony of that whole thing. Last week we talked about spiritual laziness, and I made that comment that you could be the busiest person on the planet and still be really, really spiritually lazy, because you know what? Spirituality is a different aspect of our lives, and so we have to be determined to do those things. And here's the irony of this, right? So spiritual laziness actually cheats us out of the rest that God intends for us. Now just think about that for a moment, because when we think of a lazy day, maybe it's one where we're not doing the honey-do list, we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do, and so we're just embracing a time to kind of do nothing and to just hang out or do the things that we enjoy. But when it comes to the faith, it doesn't work that way. In order to get the rest that God wants you to have, the rest that he wants to give you, then you can't do it your way. You have to do it his. And so if we're being spiritually lazy, we're not doing it his way, and so then his rest doesn't come. Look at this is what Jesus called us to. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're just going to break this down a little bit this morning and see what Jesus is really getting at here. And first, I want you to notice the invitation, right? Come to me, all that you are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Come to me. Now, first of all, we see that that's an open invitation. It's for all of you that are either weary or carrying a heavy burden. Again, without a show of hands or anything, I mean, is that you this morning? I mean, if we were talking one-on-one and you were, would you reference yourself as weary this morning? If so, then I really, this week I've been praying that you would hear his invitation to you. That in some way he would touch and speak to your heart and mind, that you'll walk out of those doors a little differently than maybe you dragged yourself in. But here's the honest thing. Even if this isn't currently describing you, we all know that any given moment, we can find ourselves there. It is easy to be weary. And then when we even look at the original language here, weary literally means, I mean, you're so exhausted by labor that, you know what, you collapse If you've ever collapsed in bed at the end of the day, I mean, you dragged yourself to that point and just got to bed and just collapsed in there, that's the weariness that Jesus Christ is talking about here. I mean, and we get that. There's a physical weariness that we get when we've pushed ourselves too hard or too long, and we just get to the point where we are just exhausted. But that's not the only weariness we get. We get an emotional weariness, and I think in some ways for me, I think the emotional weariness is almost harder and heavier to carry than the physical. I mean, for me, the physical, you can get a little bit of adrenaline. You can push through if you have a, you know, as I was doing flooring at 9:15 last night, and it was so close to being done. You pull yourself up, you knew that. But emotional, it's like, it's harder to pull yourself up by your emotional bootstraps, isn't it? Because the tank, you just get to the point where you're fried. We use that terminology. I am fried. I am done. I don't have another ounce. We don't want to be around anybody else. And so that emotional weariness. How about spiritual weariness? And I think this is one of those that I don't know if we always think about, but let's face it. I mean, I don't think we always recognize it, but there is a weight and a struggle that comes from fighting sin and temptation. I think there can be a weight to trying to live this life like we know we should when we try to do it on our own power. Because here's the thing. We as Christians, we understand that we're only a Christian because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And we know that, man, the things that he's calling us to do are almost impossible. They are impossible unless we are relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. But how often do we know what we're supposed to do, and so we try to do it in our own strength? We're trying to do this Christian thing on our own energy. And then we get spiritually exhausted because you're never meant to carry it. I mean, your Christianity should never become a burden to you. If your Christianity becomes a burden to you, something's amiss. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to wake up, smell the coffee, and make a change. Because that's not what Jesus Christ intended for you. And that's part of what this weariness, this overall spiritual, emotional, physical, that's part of what Jesus Christ is talking about. But before we get into the practical steps of how to deal with that, I want you to realize something. I think it's an important point. And it's something that Jesus Christ said right before these verses, Matthew 11:25. And at that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Now, is Jesus Christ saying that, yeah, this is something inherently that babies know and that as we get older, we lose? Possibly. I mean, think about this. When you talk about rest and you talk about, you know, stress reduction, you talk about, the world believes a certain thing. And here Jesus Christ is saying so many things that come to following Jesus Christ, it doesn't pencil out. We're supposed to do it by faith. Right? We know that there are things, you know, we just did the offering. There are times that God's going to ask you to give an amount, and you're looking at it and going, Lord, I don't have it. And at that moment, you have a choice. Are you going to operate on the world's wisdom and intelligence, or are you going to operate out of faith? This is what he's talking about here. There's so many things that it just doesn't make sense in our human rationale, and yet Jesus Christ says, look, if you live this way, I'll give you rest. At a certain point, this is a faith thing, and it doesn't have to make sense. You can watch little kids, and there are all sorts of things in life that they enjoy, and they have zero understanding of how it works out. And yet, as we get older and we mature and we figure things out, we think we know better. Frankly, there are things that the kids do, the way they live, are way better than we as adults. Because we think we've got it all figured out, right? The older we get. And yet Jesus Christ is going, look, I've revealed it to it. Faith like a child. It's not just a catchphrase. We don't have to understand how this works. We have to understand that as we obey God and we do it the way he intends, things will work out the way they should. There are certain things you cannot manufacture in your life. No matter how hard you try, no matter how smart you are, no matter how many resources you have, there are certain things that you're just going to have to simply trust and obey. And God will take care of the rest. So where do we start? How do we accept Jesus' invitation here? Because I think we all want what he's offering here. First, he says, come to me. And then he says, take. So the first thing we need to do, we need to come. Well, what does that look like? We need to go to God and admit to him our weariness. We need to go to God and admit that we're carrying burdens that we shouldn't be. And that's hard, right? There needs to be a certain level of humility. There needs to be a certain level of self-assessment. It's not fun to look at your life and go, okay, how am I doing? It's way easier, right, to just stay in the grind because I just keep my eyes ahead and just day to day get up. I mean, the alarm rings, you hit the shower, and you go. At the end of the day, your head flops over. I mean, just go. Just push through. But we need to self-assess. We need to be able to look and go, okay, how are we doing? Because there's times that we need to redirect our lives away from those things that have been causing us to be weary, and we need to turn our focus toward Jesus. If you are really, really weary this morning, I would ask you the question, where's your life really headed? Because is it pointed toward Christ or is it pointed away from him? Because when we are facing the wrong direction and we are moving toward the wrong things, then weariness and burdens will be part of the results. It's just the nature of the beast. Now, I'm not saying that when we follow Jesus, everything's going to be perfect and easy and wonderful. I mean, it just doesn't work out that way. I mean, Jesus himself said, you know what, in this world, you're going to have trials. But he promises the power and the strength when we walk in with the Holy Spirit. I think too often, I think we're like, there's a TV repairman, and he had climbed onto this top, this three-story house, and he was fixing some wiring and the cabling, and he's up there working, and the wind picked up, and it actually kind of blew him, and he slid down the roof, and on his way down, he actually got to grab the gutter, and so he's hanging there, and he was feeling so lucky until he noticed that the gutter started pulling away, and in his panic, he just yells out, "Is there anyone who can help me?" And lo and behold, a voice from heaven cried out, "I can help you, just let go, and I'll catch you." To which he quickly replied, "Is there anyone else that can help me?" You ever been there? You are in a place where you are crying out to God and he's going, "I've got this." And it doesn't look rational to you. You don't like the concept. So what do? You do anything you can to try to find your way out of that rather than trusting the loving Heavenly Father that operates and controls the entire universe around you and knows that situation better than anybody else. But what does it require? Here it requires you to actually come, to actually go to the Father and go, "Okay, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I am carrying weariness and I am carrying burdens, and I know it's because my focus has been wrong. I've been allowing the things of this world to take parts of my heart that belong to you." And it's hard. It's hard to trust sometimes. Even though God might be standing there going, "Look, let go and I'll catch you." So Jesus wants us to make the first move here. We need to come. We need to recognize our need. Then the second thing here, again, we see these two action verbs, is take. So what is Jesus Christ asking us or inviting us to take? "Take my yoke upon you." So when Jesus originally said this, it was a completely different audience. It was an agricultural community. So when he made this phrase and used it, the original audience would be much quicker to understand what he was talking about. But here's a visual for you. Here's a yoke, if you've never seen it or you need that reminder, right? So it's pretty easy to see how it works. You got those two loops of wood, and you would hook up the oxen, and then there's that ring in the middle that would usually be hooked to a plow or maybe a wagon or whatever. So again, we can look at this, and it seems pretty easy to see how it works, but you really don't understand the deeper nuances unless you've ever been a farmer who has trained oxen on a yoke. Because here's the thing. So when it comes time to train these oxen, they look about the same size, but one of them's much older and more experienced than the other one. So when it comes to train up, the farmer would take a big, strong, more experienced ox who knew the path or knew how to plow and was capable of basically doing the job themselves. And they would hook that young ox that's weaker, really doesn't know what they're doing, and they would be bound under that same yoke, and the old ox would go ahead and would do the job, and the young ox wouldn't really feel the weight. I mean, he might feel the constraint when he tried to take a hard left or try to get away, and that big old ox would just stay the course. And as time goes by, what happens? The young ox would learn the proper way from the old ox. Puts this whole Bible verse in a little different context, doesn't it? Right? Jesus Christ is asking us to take my yoke upon us. This is how we learn the ways of Christ. We are connected in that yoke when we allow ourselves to be. We're yoked with the Holy Spirit, and over time, he shows us the right path. Over time, he shows us how to do the job that we are called to do. And look at what he said. For my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. Sounds great, but is this your experience? Is following Jesus Christ easy, anybody? Has this faith thing been a cakewalk for you? Good, we're all in the same boat. It's not. Taking the carnal man, taking our brokenness and allowing Jesus Christ to transform us by calling things in our lives and having us give up things and having him chip away at us, it's not easy, but here it is. Jesus Christ calls us easy, and this is where the original language gives a fuller picture. The term here is actually means wholesome, good, useful, and kindly. It isn't easy like, you know what, boy, this is a piece of cake. It means it's good for you. It was useful. It's a kind thing. One of my commentaries explained it like this. Christ's yoke is like feathers to a bird. It's not a load, but it's help to motion. So he's not using you as a beast of burden. He's given you a load that'll help you fly. Will help you become all the things that he intends for you to be. In short, his yoke is good for us. It helps us move in the right direction in a loving way. And we can see this truth in other places in the Bible. 1 John 5:3, for the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Let's face it, this is another one of those things. I think early on in my faith, there were commandments that felt pretty burdensome to me. You become a Christ, and all of a sudden there are a bunch of thou shalt nots, right? Can't do this, you can't do that, you're supposed to do this, and it feels like a cage. But when we grow in the faith and we recognize this thing, we're going, God's not making a bunch of rules just to make our lives miserable. He's keeping us away from things that ultimately steal our joy, steal our peace, drive us into sin. Again, the creator of the universe knows what this life is intended to be and how the world steals that away from us. This is how we learn from Jesus. It's not a burdensome thing. This is how it's not following a bunch of rules, but this describes a life being transformed. And the verse that follows us shows us his expectation. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. I mean, this is ultimately what God is calling us to do, to be victors, to be conquerors. This world will not defeat us. I don't care how bleak it can look. I don't care how beat down that this world can become. Our God has already won it. That's the expectation. That's our future. Are you living like a conqueror? Are you living like a victor? If not, I'll go back to next week. You're probably spiritually lazy and you're not getting the rest that he wants you to have. If that doesn't describe you, then God is inviting you into something different. Because remember, look at our original verse. This is what he promises. I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Whether you are weary this morning or whether you're in a pretty good place, both of those things should sound pretty good to you, right? I mean, there's a part of us that should long for this. But here's the thing. This is what I want you to notice here. This isn't necessarily talking about Sabbath here. Now, Sabbath is definitely, I mean, it's one of the Ten Commandments. We understand that. We need, as Christians, and frankly, just as humans, we need to be able to shut down, slow down, get away, and recharge. We are wired that way. And when we go against God's will, and we go against God's law, and we work 24/7 for long periods of time, bad things happen. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, when we avoid the Sabbath. But that's not the rest that this is talking about here. This is talking about the rest that comes from doing life in step with the Spirit. We need to understand, again, the original nuance here. This is how one of my commentaries, where I said, the rest of Christ is twofold. It is given and it is found. It is given in pardon and reconciliation. It is found under the yoke and the burden in the development of the Christian experience as more and more the strain passes from self to Christ. Rest comes when you are walking with the Spirit and it's His power that sustains you. We get in trouble, again, when we follow the world or we try to do this Christian faith thing on our own power. You're doomed. If you are doomed for failure versus what? We just looked at that. If we do it the way Christ intends, you're a victor and a conqueror. So where are you this morning? Have you been doing more than Jesus intends for you? Is your life currently focusing on the wrong things? Are you weary and weighed down by the burdens that you really shouldn't be carrying? The invitation is to come. Our loving Heavenly Father is lovingly inviting you into something new and fresh. As we surrender our lives to His leadership and our Lordship, He comes in and gives us what we're truly in need of. When we take steps into obedience, God shows us, we enter into that rest. God this morning is ready to give you the peace that surpasses understanding and the joy unspeakable, but you need to come. You can't just sit in the pew. You can't just settle for where you are. You need to come and repent and next step. Stop your striving. Turn to Jesus, and you will find rest. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, you are a good God, and your love for us knows no bounds, whether we're following you or not, and we thank you for that, and we're humbled by that truth. And Lord, we confess we live in a busy, hectic world, and way more than we want to admit, we get caught up into it. And we claim to be busy, busy people, but when the rubber hits the road, man, there are so many things that are just stealing our time and our resources and our hearts from you. Things that don't ultimately matter. And yet you love us in the midst of that, and you invite us to just come and to enter into this relationship with you as we walk in the Spirit and we do life the way you intend, trusting you and obeying you. You give us this peace, this joy, and this rest that we can't get or experience in any other way. Lord, you know every life that's sitting here this morning. You know where they are in their relationship with you. So I would pray that this wouldn't be another burden of guilt, but this would be an invitation to something different. That as people allow this truth to penetrate their hearts and minds, that you would let it take hold and you would cut them free from some of those things that are causing them weariness or the burdens that they're carrying that they shouldn't be. Give us the strength and the wisdom to make you truly Lord of our lives, to make you the number one motivator of everything that we do. We confess our shortcomings. We confess that we make this world a bigger influence than it should be. And we repent of that and know that and thank you for your forgiveness. So this week, Lord, we ask that we would walk with you and that you would give us rest. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.